Please turn with me now to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, and reading verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, reading verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And my subject this evening is death's dictatorship. We see this theme particularly in verse 15. Now, according to this verse and what the whole Bible teaches, behind the facade, behind our bravado and indifference to this issue of death, according to this verse, there is that intrinsic fear of death. We all fear death. Well, especially people who have not yet come to know the Savior as their own. There is this fear in every one of us of death, of the reality and the subject of death. This is what this verse, particularly verse 15, is teaching. There is a fear of death in each and every one of us. And God has left it in us on purpose. It's very deliberate. It's God's warning for us that we need to prepare for the next life. This is a short life and we need to prepare for the next life. We should be prepared. And that's why God in his mercy actually leaves that fear of death inside us. But we can be very, we can all be very foolish, and we can get rid of this topic in our minds, because it's a very uncomfortable topic. And it's true, this fear of death, it's not an immediate fear for us. It's not something we fear on a day-to-day basis. Most of us, we like to bury it in the deep recesses of our subconscious, and we never give it any thought. It's a subject to be avoided at all costs. There are many controversial subjects nowadays, but death is the subject that no one wants to talk about. And we don't talk about it. It's a profoundly uncomfortable issue. But sometimes it warns us that it's there. Perhaps when I'm ill, or a near-death experience, or a profound trouble or difficulty comes up in my life, and all of a sudden death seems real. And death, we should actually look at it in that way. It's almost, you can almost see it as a person. It reminds us, it's there, it's waiting for us. And without the Savior, who according to the scriptures, particularly 1 Corinthians 15, the Savior who has removed the sting of death, without him, it's a reality that I find really, if I'm honest with myself, it's a reality that I find very uncomfortable. And that's why I never think about it. I never give it any thought whatsoever. I remove it from my thinking. Well, perhaps you say to me this evening, well, preacher, actually, I don't fear death. It's true. I don't think about death, but I don't fear it. Well, maybe it's because you haven't given it due consideration. Have you thought about it? Have you given it a long thought? Have you thought about the day of your death? If I give it due to consideration, I guarantee that fear will rise to the surface. So my negligence of this topic of death doesn't prove that I don't fear death. We all fear death according to what the scriptures teach. For I may not be bothered about the fact that there are poisonous snakes in some regions of the world. I don't think about it. It doesn't bother me in the least. But if I cross the path of a black mamba, my fear would be very apparent. So we do fear death. We don't think we fear death because it's something that's not immediate. But if death was knocking on our door, well, I have this book at home. I bought it from the bookshop at our church a few years ago, and it's called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. It's a wonderful book. It's really important to read, actually. There's accounts of famous Christians and famous people who are not Christians and their last words, famous people. And you have some of these very famous atheists, Voltaire and these other men who spent their lifetime trying to destroy the Christian faith. And then on their deathbed, they're weeping like babies. They're petrified. But all their life, so confident, so indifferent, so hostile, so, oh, these things are rubbish, they're fairy tales, but on death's doorstep, they're completely different. So there is an intrinsic fear of death, especially for those who do not know the Savior as their Savior. So these things, they're important, they're uncomfortable to think about, but they're important to think about. But it's a fear, it's not an unwarranted fear. Death is not an unwarranted fear. If I have not been forgiven by my Creator, I have every reason to fear death. But the problem is that most of us handle the fear of death in the wrong way. I've already mentioned this. We tend to just put it out of our minds, never think about it. We're indifferent to it. Well, that's actually the worst way to handle the fear. If there is someone among us this evening, and that's how you deal with the topic of death, you just don't think about it, you're indifferent to it, well, that's the worst way to handle the fear. You're in denial. And that's a sober reality to think of. But that's true. We do fear death. Death will catch up with me, and it'll be far worse than I feared. This is what the scriptures teach. So how to handle this fear is all important. How do I handle this fear? Well, if I stare it in the face and I think about it and I think about the day of my death, well, that's actually a good thing, because the scriptures teach, I'll just give you one reference, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 2, for example. You don't need to go there. I'll just quote it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 2. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. So I think about these solemn things. Where is my life going? And what will happen when I die? If I think about these things, I suddenly start to realize, well, actually, I'm not prepared for death. And my sin is taking me the completely wrong direction, away from the Lord, away from saving grace. And in such a frame of mind, the hope of the gospel actually comes to life, because the hope of the gospel transcends beyond the grave. So it's a wonderful thing. It's uncomfortable to start off with, thinking about death. But this is the opportunity where the gospel comes to life, when we start to think about these things, investigating the reality of death, the afterlife, asking the big questions. I wonder if you ask the big questions of life. Do you do that from time to time? Do you ask, what is the reason for my being here? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Do you do that? Most people don't. Most people in society, they never ask the big questions of life. They kind of suffocate their conscience by jamming on the earphones and all the other million distractions around them. They couldn't care. And that's futile, friends. It's dangerous not to think about these issues, because these issues are there. They are set in iron, and we will approach them one day, the serious issue of death. Well, the alternative is, if I don't approach death this way, by thinking about it, by considering it, by asking the big questions of life, if I don't do this, the alternative is that I ignore it, I blank it out of my mind, and that is actually an evidence that I'm under death's dictatorship. And that's exactly what verse 15 is saying. Look at verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ's mission to deliver them who through fear of death, listen to this, this is so profound, who all their lifetime were subject to bondage. This is death's dictatorship over the human race, over those who do not know the Savior. Before conversion, I'm under its dictatorship, I'm under its bondage. I obey death's commands. It has a philosophy in life. Eat, drink, for tomorrow you die. That's its philosophy, and I do as I'm told. If I'm not a converted man or woman, I do that. I just live for the things I can touch and see and smell. I'm just like an animal, according to what the scriptures teach. Psalm 49, for example, those who are an honor in this world, those who are applauded, and yet they do not understand the purpose of life, they are like the beasts that perish. That's what the scriptures teach. So, and this is what we do before we realize the real purpose of life. This is what we do. So how I view death and what I think about death will actually determine how I live my life. That's what this 15th verse is telling us. So if I put death into the recesses of my subconscious, I don't think about it, I don't give it any due consideration, I don't think about the day of judgment, I don't think about these things, well, inevitably, it'll just cause me to live for this world, just to live for the things I can see, just to live for the here and now. There's no other alternative. So the fear of death actually forces me to live in a materialistic cage. That's what happens if I handle this fear the wrong way. No prospect of heaven, no prospect of being forgiven by my God, no prospect beyond this world, beyond the grave. I'm forced down. It's all my priorities, all my pleasures, all my experiences are bound up in things that I can see and touch. The fear of death is, well, people who live like this, they have a very low ceiling to life, a very low ceiling. All I have is what's under the sun, according to what the King Solomon taught in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a very superficial way of living, really. Just living for the things we can see, just living for this world. All my ambitions, all my hopes, all my joys. Well, these things can actually be taken away from me. They're very fragile. If I'm living just for this world, just for the here and now, the hopes that I have, the plans that I have for life, they are very unstable. And death has a habit of being very intrusive. Death can intrude into my life and can take away these things while I'm still alive. Death has many forms, you know. Death is not just meeting you on the day you die, but it has many forms. It comes in the form of sickness. Alex, so the question you may be thinking about is, in what way does death intrude into my life while I'm still alive? Well, look at verse 14. It gives us the answer indirectly, in a way. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power, the power of death, that is, the devil. Well, another question we ask is, in what sense does Satan have power over death? Well, he doesn't have power in the authority to take someone, to organize someone's day of death. He cannot determine when a person will die. This alone belongs to God. God alone has that authority. He alone knows and determines when each and every one of us will die. Satan does not have that power. But this text says that he has power of death. And what sense does he have power of death? Well, in the following way. It was Satan's strategy in the creation, when our first parents were created, it was his strategy to bring this destructive force into existence. It was his strategy to bring about the rebellion and the sin of the human race. And he knows very well that death feeds on sin. That's death's fuel, according to what the Bible teaches. The wages of sin is death. We learn in Romans chapter 6. And so death and sin really are partners in crime. And it's important to understand that. If I don't understand that, that's a very elementary teaching of the scriptures, by the way. And people who don't understand it, their view of life will be very much diametrically opposed to what the Bible teaches. But this is how it works. Death feeds on sin. And so in that sense, death interrupts our lives constantly through the consequences of the rebellion and the sin of man. And we see it everywhere. We see death's signature everywhere. Wars, famines, earthquake. We see all a sign of death. And death is a judgment from God because of our rebellion against him. And we see it everywhere, strewn across the human race. So death interrupts our existence. Death interrupts the things that we live for. We have a quest. We have a desire for fulfillment and purpose in this life. And if I don't have any regard for the Savior, if I don't have any regard to be reconciled to my Creator, well, this quest will be, you'll be disappointed, friend. I can tell you that right now. You may have plans and ambitions in life, things that you want to do and accomplish. Well, you live in a world of great uncertainty. This world is in a constant state of change. Things are changing all the time. Life is so uncertain. So death will interrupt your plans and your purposes and your desires and your fulfillment constantly in many different forms. And because of this, because of these many uncertainties, death actually causes people who are under death's dictatorship to live in denial. people actually, many, many people, before they come to a saving knowledge of Christ, they are actually living in denial. They see all these troubling things in the world, and there are so many troubling things in the world right now. We could actually be on the brink of World War III. It seems quite likely when you see some of the things that are happening in the Far East with North Korea and so on, and the Middle East, the tension is so great. So we could be on the brink of World War III. And in recent years, we've heard of these potential super viruses and the financial meltdown of different nations. There are so many troubling, profoundly troubling things happening in the world. And troubles come in and out of our own lives. So why I'm saying this is for the following reason. If I'm under the dictatorship of death, if I'm under death's power, how do I react to these troubles in the world and in my own life? I respond in the following way. I see all these things on the TV, on the news, trouble, certain difficulties in life, and how do I react? Well, I'll become a moviegoer. I'll indulge in entertainment. I said earlier, I'll just put on the earphones. I'll do these things to calm my nerves. And that's what many people do. It's that people are living their, well, escapism. That's what it is. You're escaping the realities of life. All these things in the world and these things that come into my life, these troubles that come into my life from time to time, all these things are pointing me to the reality of the fact that death is coming and I have to be ready for it. Are you ready for it? Or are you just in denial? You just don't think about it. You carry on, just burying yourself with all these distractions. I'm constantly on the social media. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I do these things because, well, I don't like to think about death. I don't like to think about sin. I don't like to think about these negative things. But you must, friends. You're living in denial if you're not. It's so important. It's like a person saying, well, he's feeling very unwell. And his family or his friends tried to convince him to go to the doctor. Go to the doctor, you're unwell. And then eventually he's persuaded to go to the doctor. And then he finds out that he has cancer and it's getting worse. But he doesn't believe the doctor. Don't be so negative. I feel fine. Don't tell me up. And that's what we're like before we see our need of the Savior. We're just in denial. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Don't talk to me about death and these things. I'm not interested in that. Oh, friend, that's so sad, because these things are as sure as can be. These things will happen. I will meet my God in judgment one day, and he will be my judge if I don't meet him as my Savior in this life. These things are important to consider. Well, I don't want to be negative. Well, through this whole message, these verses are actually very positive. In verses 14 and 15, they're very positive. Let me read them both. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Friend, do you be honest with yourself this evening? Are you under death's dictatorship? Are you under its bondage? You never give it any thought. You bury it in the back of your subconscious. You don't think about these things. But deep down you know that if you were to lose your life next week, if you were to lose your life in a month's time or perhaps tomorrow, and you don't know when that day when you're... Are you ready? Are you ready to meet your God, your Creator? It doesn't have to be this way. These verses are so encouraging. They're saying that the Savior of sinners, the God himself, he can take away the sting of death, the fear of death. He can. That was his mission. That's what he came to do, to take away the fear of death. Here in these two verses, we see God's wonderful rescue plan of salvation for all who see their need of forgiveness. So this good news is available to you this evening. Dear friend, if this is the case with you, if you are still under death's dictatorship, it can be legitimately death, the fear of death can be legitimately taken away. But we take it away illegitimately by not thinking about it, but it's still there. Oh, my friend, seek the Savior. That's the only true way to come over, the only authentic way to overcome this fear of death is to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for new life and forgiveness, forgiveness of all your sins. And it's amazing, you see these verses, you study them at depth, and you see what the Savior did. God, Almighty God. We know that the scriptures teach that God is, there is one God, but there are three divine persons within the Godhead, the Trinity, and God, the Son, the second person of the Trinity. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was proclaimed hundreds and even in some cases thousands of years before it happened that the Savior would come. The second person of the Trinity would come. In Isaiah chapter 53, 700 years before the event, it describes in very graphic detail the mission of Christ's work and how he would atone for the sins of his people. Remarkable prophecies in the Bible pointing to the work of Christ. And he would come, God would come, as a he would come as a human being. He would walk amongst his own creation. And he would work, he would live a perfect, blameless life. He would be a representative of the, of his people, those people who see their need of forgiveness and put their faith in the Savior. He would be the perfect human being on behalf of all those who look to him for forgiveness. So when I die one day and I go to heaven, God will look upon me, the Father, he will look upon me and every forgiven person as if they've never committed a sin, because he will look at them through the perfect righteousness of their Savior. That's what the scriptures teach from cover to cover. And also on the cross, he was willing to undergo the eternal torment of punishment that we deserve in hell. On that cross, he was in such great agony of soul, and the physical suffering was profound. The nails, the long nails through his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns. But the spiritual suffering was so much worse. As he was undergoing, he was taking upon himself the full weight of punishment of all the sins of his people, compressed miraculously into the space of 6 hours. No wonder why he cried on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As he was being punished, that eternal invisible punishment he bore upon his own shoulders for all those who look to him by faith. My friend, that can be you this evening. If you are still under death's dictatorship, you don't have to be. The fear of death can be legitimately taken away. If you die tomorrow, if you die next week, you can be with Savior, your Savior, your precious Savior in paradise. He's taken away the sting of death for all who look to him. It's a wonderful reality. Not so long ago, I was watching this documentary where this family of meerkats, and you have these baby meerkats, very cute, and they come across a scorpion. And of course, it's dangerous for these very young meerkats. And then the adult comes, and the adult somehow disarms the scorpion. It takes away the scorpion's sting. So the scorpion is now harmless for the baby meerkat to train with and play with. That's what Christ has done for us. He's disarmed the sting, the power of death. And I can honestly say, and I'm sure fellow Christians can say this evening, that they don't fear death. Oh, yes, I don't look forward to it in the sense that, oh, what happens if I die before my wife and my children? How will they be looked after? But I trust the Lord will undertake for that. But I don't fear death. And I can honestly say that. And I've had at least 3 near-death experiences. I don't fear death. I can honestly say that. I look forward to being, death is the gateway to my Savior who loved me and gave himself up for me. Faith will give way to sight, and I will see the precious Son of God, my blessed Savior, who shed his blood for a worthless worm like me. And that's the testimony of all God's people. My friend, that can be you. You can feel that blood being cleansed over your soul. You can be, you know what it's like to have your conscience made clean? That filthiness, those secret thoughts that no one else sees, the secret sins in your life, all forgiven. And he can recreate, he can change you, make you into a new person. It's wonderful. It's a miracle. It's a divine work of God. These things are so profound. So you want to be free from the fear of death. Seek the Lord. It'll change everything. He'll change you. He'll make you into a new person. You'll be released from the cage of materialism. You will no longer just be living for the things of this world. You'll be living for high and eternal things. By faith, you'll see the celestial city on the horizon where your Savior is. You'll have a glorious future to look forward to. You'll have the help and blessing of your Savior. Throughout life, he will guide you. He will bless you, even through difficulty and trouble. So here in these verses, we have Christ's appeal to rescue those under the dictatorship of death. Is that you this evening, friend? But those who are rescued can say with the Apostle Paul, all those years ago, and may this be the case with you this evening, they can say the following: death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen.